keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go. Shit. God damn it!
Forget it. That's it.
This is Douglas.
Wow,
by the way, I just realized we haven't done a sound check tonight, you know. Is everything
microphone
working okay?
Check.
So and everybody is, you know, at the
everybody
same level.
Is, yep,
and,
pretty much.
Okay, watch me fuck you.
Me and my crew are
very loud.
We're on another level. And this is Damien.
That was Damien.
Let's see how you edit this in.
Anyways, Damien, what have you been watching?
The fucking song is in my head now.
Why is it always
me and my crew? We're on another level. Right. I saw the King's Speech.
I hate that song.
Hey, guess what?
I love it.
The King's Speech is really good. And Colin Firth is really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
Colin Firth?
Yes,
no.
Almost like he's been nominated for a lot of Oscars.
You know who I'm surprised that I really like from that movie? Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, she didn't play a crazy bastard for once.
You don't think that she's good?
No.
I just
just forget because she's always in some shitty Johnny Depp movie where she's playing a crazy
bastard. Tim Burton. She is married to the man. But can you not remember Marla Fisher?
Look, I remember her being a good actress. It's just the last couple hundred movies that she's been in.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fight Club. Okay, I don't know the character name.
And so I saw The King's Speech. I also have been watching, now that I'm through with Justified, I went back and I've been watching old episodes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Should I say cancelled episodes of Studio 60. Sorkin did this awesome show on NBC and it got cancelled for being too awesome, I guess. Heroes was still on the air. Studio 60. So Amanda Peet, that dude from Friends, that dude from The West Wing. And it's really good.
I just like to add, since we're talking about Studio 60, Stout, not my favorite drink.
Let me just put this over
here. Of course, I can see how that relates to Studio 60.
They both start with ST. I think that's about as close as Andrew can get.
Fair
to
enough.
A connection.
Fair enough.
There's also an O and a U in both of them.
Right. But,
okay, I'm going to be quiet now. Drink the rest of my stuff.
I continue to watch House, and guess what? Still House. And I watched Inception again. We don't need to talk about it.
Don't need to know what you think about that movie.
Don't need to talk about that movie. Except for the fact that it's really good. Guys, Inception is really good.
Is it winning the Oscar for best film?
There's no way.
Good.
It's the Oscars. Chris Nolan will never win an Oscar. Think of this is his Inception was his not so mainstream project. It cost $300 million and has made a gazillion dollars. He'll never.
You're saying the Oscars can't give a movie that make money?
Look, the last time the Oscars did that was what, Titanic? It'll never happen again. They're going to make sure that it never happens. Because if one of the blockbusters win, then what will the little guys do? They have to pin the little guys some way.
I mean, so you're saying Darren Aronofsky's Wolverine next year has no chance?
Yeah, good luck. Bryan Singer's X-Men First Class has a better chance.
That's not Bryan Singer, that's Matthew Vaughn.
No, it's Matthew Vaughn. What is Singer doing?
Singer is doing
nothing at this point?
I don't think so. He's doing something, I think.
Wasn't he supposed to do
X-Men.
No, people were talking about him doing it, but he never had signed on to it.
Yeah, and they talked about Superman as well, and that never.
No, that's never
happening. Exactly, yeah. But what else? Actually, no, you're right. He's doing something, but I can't remember what.
Whatever it is, I'll watch it because I love cinema. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Not a whole lot. This week has been very hectic.
Yeah.
A lot of football has been going on. Eating into a lot of movie time.
Here we
go. Oh, he's doing the Battlestar Galactica film. It's coming out.
I never mind that.
Or this year, sorry. This year.
Do I really want to watch
Catastrophe.
Wow.
So,
Douglas, what have you been watching?
Okay, so I watched a few things. And there are a few things that I still haven't talked about that I've seen that I want to talk about. But this week, I just want to really highlight, you know, usually you watch some movies and, you know, every once in a while, you'll watch a great movie. And more often than not, you'll watch an average movie. And sometimes you just watch a really shitty movie. I try to avoid those too, but you know, no matter how hard you try, you always get buck up on something. And I wanted to highlight those shitty movies this week. And
so this is like a recap of weeks of shitty movies that you've run into.
Yes, but you know what? I want to be concise. I don't want to talk about a whole heap.
Right, just know that they're shitty movies.
Just know, yes. Know that I have been seeing a lot of shitty movies lately.
Has Tyler Perry's name shown up?
No. I selectively I'm selective about my shitty movies.
You're a shitty movie
connoisseur as such, yes.
He's pretentious even about his shitty movies.
So, I decided to watch a movie with Ben Affleck in it, which I know I'm asking for.
Did he direct this film?
Exactly, that's the problem. I thought to myself, Ben Affleck, you've been doing good things behind the camera, why don't I see if you can do things in front of the camera without being behind? So no, I'm not talking about the tone.
Oh,
I'm talking about The Company Men.
Question, all I have before you actually get into how shitty it is, is it very religious? Because the trailer made it
not religious at all.
I don't know. It looked like after he gets fired, he gets depressed, and then it felt like it had this whole you have to have hope thing. And I'm sure there's going to be a church somewhere in there.
It looked like he was going to go down that road. Essentially, you've got the first half right. He gets fired. He gets depressed. His shit gets repossessed. You know, he gets
a machine gun.
You know, and shoots the town up. No, he doesn't get a machine gun. What happens
the movie
is, you
would
know,
have been good at
is that, it. Would have been. Is it prequel to the town?
No, I don't think so. I would have probably not disliked this movie as much if that was all it was. This movie was really, it was really a movie about Ben Affleck and about him dealing with unemployment and then getting employed in the end to, you know, one of those hope floats type of like, oh, I'm going to win the world over kind of shit. But guess what? That doesn't interest me.
It's a bad movie per se. It's just not your type of movie.
No, this is a bad movie.
It's a bad movie.
You know what's bad about this movie? It's not. Okay, I'm going to pull the international.
You had caveats at the end. You're like, that doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah. Right? I know.
You had just said, and he finds some happy-go-lucky shit at the end, and the movie is tragic.
I will bring out what I reasoned. My reasoning for the international. You ever watched international before, Clive Owen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you think of that movie?
Architecture porn, that is what that
movie
is. Okay,
but other than that, what did you think?
I don't remember. I tried. They shot up the Gutenberg.
Yeah. Anything? What else?
It was terrible.
Okay. To me, that
terrible movie
was terrible, but it wasn't terrible. You know what it was? It was so insanely average. It was just there. It was a bunch of guys standing in front of the camera. They had a script that told them what to say, so they said it. The director had to point the camera somewhere, so he pointed. And
they hobbled something together.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was. It was, you know, a melange of
scenes.
of just blah, right? And that made me dislike it even more, just because it was so, as it's like, I really came and I just sat down here and I was just whelmed. No, yeah, you know,
no effort.
And that is exactly what happened here. I could understand some people liking this movie, you know. If you've gotten fired, sure, you will definitely then, you know,
I've been feel fired.
But I guess you quit, so
exactly, I quit. It's a different story.
We were fired. You keep telling yourself that, Douglas.
They annoy you on purpose.
Finally, a way to get him to leave. No, but this movie, it was really just so
fired.
Okay that
maybe,
yeah. that
someone really had to read those articles eventually.
I found it hilarious because I had sent in an article about homophobia, and then the day they fired me, I just sent in another one which was bashing Tyler Perry, and then I got an email an hour later.
You're like, look, this is the Gleaner, alright? If you want to write incisive shit, you take that shit to the Observer, son.
Anyways, Douglas, I totally interrupted you.
Yes, you did.
Right, but he's doing the exact opposite of what he said he would do at the start of this shitty movie segment.
No. This movie, I wanted to throw up at the end of it. I was just like, this movie is horrible. Why am I watching it? Why did I take myself through it? You know?
You don't like the movie.
I don't like the movie. Okay, now, here is another movie that I watched. The second movie. And I'm not even going to say arguably, because you can't argue this shit. It is the shittiest movie I have seen.
I'm so happy I didn't watch it. I was thinking about it.
You've seen Transformers too. There is a robot heaven. Let's just be clear.
No.
You are about
this
to
movie,
a movie worse
this movie
than robot heaven.
Is shittier than robot heaven.
I don't know whether your movie beats mine, but I will say there is a movie worse than robot
What's
heaven.
What's that?
Last Airbender.
Mm-mm. Well, I can't say that because I haven't watched this.
Robot Heaven.
You know why this movie is shittier than all of them? Because I deserve more from this movie.
Okay.
All right. As I tell you, I am selective about the shitty movies that I watch.
Nothing.
So here is the shitty movie that I watched. I watched a shitty movie directed by a fucking icon, starring one of the best. Younger, he's no longer very young anymore, but younger
sounds
actors.
Sounds like a Woody Allen movie.
No.
Clint Woody Allen, he wouldn't have
Eastwood.
Had
I know, I don't even deal
Hereafter?
With, yes, I watched Hereafter.
Why?
What?
Didn't we know that from
the
trailer?
I can tell you why he watched it.
Don't say it.
Dude, sometimes you just have to say no and let them come back.
I know, you probably should take advice from me.
I am still single. Oh, that last one, go again.
Hey, stop. Stop.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds like some stories. Anyway, so yes, I watched Hereafter. Now, this movie, the funny thing about this movie is you can see the caliber behind the shittiness.
The talent.
Right? Yeah, the talent. This movie, I can't bring out the list until the day is done. The acting was fantastic. The cinematography great. The direction perfect. But guess what? This movie was not a movie. This movie was a start. There was no act two. There was no act three. There was nothing. There was an introduction. And then an introduction. And then the introduction kind of continued. And then it kept going.
And then
they realized, shit, we've gone 2 hours or however long this flipping movie is. And we've only done act one. Let's just do some sort of
crash.
Completely insane resolution that makes this movie appear to be a love story, and then all of a sudden, it's done.
They took the crash up.
I will just tell you, it's 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Jesus Christ, it felt like forever.
So
it
there,
felt like
so
I was
there
in there
multiple
for a week.
Storylines, and then someone said, we have to tie this together somehow.
Exactly that.
And they did a piss poor job at it, I'm assuming.
Piss poor! Damien!
I'm not going to watch that movie.
Damien!
I like Clint and I like Damien, but it's never going to happen.
It was... And you know what? Irks me You know what makes me more upset money. About this movie? No, no, no. I'm fine with spending money down garbage. You know, it happens every once in a while, you know. Usually there's something good I can take from
it. I shouldn't talk. I paid to see Max Payne.
There you go. But you know what irks me is that I love
you're an asshole.
I love Clint Eastwood, right? Clint Eastwood is fantastic. And I don't know how many of his movies that he's directed that I can actually say are bad. I mean, look at Mystic River was pretty good. I mean, I love
Gran Torino.
Well, I haven't watched Gran Torino. I hear it's so fantastic.
Good. I love
them. You know, I love the Million Dollar Baby and all of those things. They're fantastic. Now, why is it that when Clint Eastwood, a great... Hold on, no, not even that. Why is it when Clint Eastwood, a great director, you can't even argue that, a great director, meeting up with Matt Damon, a phenomenal actor, somehow, whenever they meet up, it's shit. Because you cannot tell me, or you can't say and make me believe it, or anybody believe that shit Invictus was
let me
shut up.
Let me quote directly from Jeff Goldsmith, the head of the Creative Screenwriting magazine. No matter how great the talent, it's shitty script. And there's no way you cannot fix.
I get you right. And
no
guess
matter
what?
How
you know
much
what? This kind of
pass you wrap around a shitty script, it's still going to go.
I suppose this kind of ties us back into our discussion that we're going to talk about later. About what is it? The auteur's.
What? The auteur theory.
Theory, okay. So yeah.
Yeah. Shitty script.
Shitty script is all.
That's not a good movie, Nick.
But yes, I know I've been a bit too effusive. A bit too, long-winded
so
about these. But these are the two shitty movies that I have seen
hold on.
Recently.
Before you go any further, because I know you want to talk some more, I'm going to ask you to be quiet
I'm
for
done.
A moment. Damon, what do you think of Invictus?
It's not very good.
I don't think we've ever spoken about that film.
Right, and the reason I didn't bring it up after I watched it is because it's not very good. I don't like to say things like that out loud about Clint.
Because he'll come and kill you.
No, I like to keep, you know, certain facades in check. Right? I need it to survive.
Yes,
right?
You know,
I wake up in a bad mood.
Another being
I wake up in a bad mood, and I say, "Well, today is going to suck, but at least Clint Eastwood is still great."
Right?
My life is built on a couple pillows, and I don't go around shattering those pillows. It's not very good. I mean, I think that movie suffered from the same problem that Hereafter suffered from. A script is dreadful. And no matter how hard they tried, and they did try, there's one thing I can say about Clint. There is no lack of effort. But that movie isn't good.
But when I tell you, Damien, seriously, that movie felt like Act 1 followed by, holy shit, we don't finish yet? Alright, just do that. That's really what this movie was.
Alright. How long can we put off actually using anything from the script?
How much film will they let me shoot?
I'm Clint. They'll do shoot as much film as I want, god damn it.
Alright, this week I actually got through a load of stuff. And I'm going to go from shittiest thing I saw to the best. I'm going to start down at the bottom. And this week I saw Devil.
Wow. Hold on. Wait.
There's a certain name attached to this movie, and Andrew. And generally, people try to avoid that name. Do you know what that name is?
Andrew.
Is it Bukim Bundine?
And Knight.
Andrew, let me get this straight, right? When he has direct control of his movies, they're garbage. And when he is offloading his trash to other people, you think he'd make it better? How does that logic work, Andrew?
You know
what?
I am an optimist.
Wow.
I know I am.
An eternal optimist.
And I said, holy shit, something is different about how he handled this film.
Do you believe? Do you believe what politicians say as well? This is garbage.
do believe that they're going to make a better nation.
Okay. Alright. Alright, so Devil Socks, move on. You don't need to explain why the movie's bad, Andrew. You don't.
No, but you see here,
Andrew, we saw the trailer.
Look, I saw M. Night's name within a mile radius of that movie.
Alright, you know what? At this point, I have a review up on the site. Go and read that. Since I can't see anything.
I saw that review, Adam. It's never going to happen. Not even as a joke.
So sorry, no, Andrew. Really, what did you say?
No,
what
did you say? I saw this week.
Oh, okay.
I saw Love and Other Drugs.
Hey, is it Ryan Gosling?
Hey, not even a joke. Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
By the way, how is she nominated for this movie? Does she deserve a nomination? Please.
She got nominated at the Globes. Did she get nominated in the Oscars?
I think she might have, but I'm not sure. But I know, even the Globes. Why? Do you think there's any sort of merit
to make it
to that?
To make it easier for the winner.
All right.
I looking at the Globes, like anything in the comedy section was just complete rubbish. I think they did it on purpose so that they could say they took all the controversy out of giving the gay movie the win.
Hey, that movie wasn't gay. It wasn't gay all the time.
Okay, so there was Ruffalo as well.
and Annette did need a cock in her ass.
She did say that.
Yeah.
She did say that.
But anyways,
although she changed her mind, Annie.
Love and Other Drugs. It's a perfectly fine romantic comedy film, and Anne Hathaway is really good in it. But that's about the best I can say for it.
You know she's Anne Hathaway, right? They have nominated her for friggin' anything.
No, that's Meryl Streep. That's Anne Hathaway.
She's getting there. She's getting there. Right, next.
Another film I saw this week. Continuing to go up in goodness, I saw Let Me In.
That goodness.
I started watching it and stopped. Oh, it's only average?
It's a good movie.
I still can't bring myself to watch it. Not no.
My only problem with it is it's too soon. I feel like it just didn't need to be remade, but it's a really great remake and it reminds me of what I've been seeing over the past years, and I've been noticed Elias Koteas, I love you. Or better known,
Casey Jones
from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Forever shall I know you as that. You shall be nothing else. I don't know your name, Elias. Your name is Casey.
What really didn't work in this film, what I was afraid of would happen, but it didn't go to the level of a hack director would have done, was how they amped up the violence in this film as opposed to the original. In the original, you really just had that last scene.
That last glorious, glorious.
But everything else leading up to that was very mild, violent-wise. In this film,
did they get the last scene right?
They got the last scene right. In this version, all of those little in-between points, they kind of turn it up just a little bit.
Remember, it's for Americans.
I know.
They love violence.
But what I hated even more was even during those scenes when she was being a crazy vampire, you saw that it was obvious that they were putting ridiculous CG in there instead of practical stunts. And
CG? I won't have any CG in my movie.
No, it was bad CG. It was bad CG. And what really annoyed me was I feel that Matt Reeves should have just gone and seen her do Kick-Ass and realized that she can do all the stunts that she needs to do for this movie to make it awesome.
Insurance money kind of tight, Andrew.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass was indie. There was no money.
Speaking of, I just wanted to make another thing clear, by the way. Because you're talking about bad CG. Hereafter has some kind of crappy CG.
You mean that Tidal Wave didn't look awesome?
No, not at all.
It didn't look as bad as it was in the trailer. That trailer made it look so good.
Alright, two more movies that I saw this week that I want
There's
to talk
two
about.
Two better than Let Me.
Yes. I finally got to see Steven Soderbergh's debut film, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
This is debut?
It's his first feature film. He did a few shorts, but it's his first feature.
His debut.
And I don't know how you guys feel about this movie, but I really enjoyed it.
Didn't see it.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to, but I haven't seen it.
Too long, didn't see.
Too long?
No,
it's not that long.
No, all right.
Never
mind. Anatomy of Grey is mean.
It sounds like it's some sort of reference that you should have gotten, Andrew.
Right.
You should have gotten. I got it, but you
sure
you
did.
Sure you did.
When there's articles, you know, there's some people write really long articles, and so it's too long, didn't read it. TLDR.
But your title sounds interesting.
Too long. Yeah. I would have read this. It's too long.
Bullet points. That helps. Yeah. top 10 list. Sorry, those.
The movie, it's really interesting because it deals with a lot of sexuality and a lot of... it has these two characters who are basically polar opposites, and they're actually sisters. One is this repressed woman who...
So it's the double life of Veronica all over again? No, but you said it
was
good. Oh, never mind.
One is a repressed woman who's repressed sexually, and she's just like not too much into sex or anything. And then her sister is like pretty much a whore. The only thing that makes this movie kind of laughable is how this whole thing is interconnected, because not only is the two of them sisters, but the repressed woman is married to this man who's banging his wife's sister on the side. So that's kind of silly in itself, but what really works is when James Spader's character comes in, who's this really different character. He has a weird fetish. He likes to tape women talking about their sex lives, and he's impotent and stuff, but this guy becomes a catalyst for how it changes these two women. And it's... I really found it...
So, by the end, the whore becomes a saint, and the
Not that quick, but... And not that black and white, but it brings people to question their feelings on sexuality and all sorts of stuff.
Essentially, James?
James Spader.
James Spader fucks everybody, that's all.
He doesn't fuck anyone.
That's because, you know, you didn't see those bits.
he turned off the camera and he's like, yes, no,
thanks for all that chatter, but let's get down to business.
So the number one film I saw this week, Stanley Kubrick's The Killing.
I don't know this one. Which one is this?
It's
1956.
Yeah. You've seen it. It's with, for some reason I can't remember his name right now, but he plays the police commissioner in The Godfather, who gets shot in the Italian restaurant.
You know the him.
Okay.
I don't remember his name. You know him.
Yeah. And they're going to rob the track, the horse track, the racetrack. And it's all this heist film of how they do this.
Okay.
And this movie is bloody fantastic.
Now that you talk about it, I remember you talking about this movie, and I remember thinking to myself, wondering if there's this movie with Pierce Brosnan in it where he does the same thing, he robs a racetrack, and I was just wondering if that was some sort of remake, but yeah.
I don't know.
What was the name of the Pierce Brosnan film you remember?
I can't remember, no. I've seen it, but I can't remember. I think... no, I can't remember.
Let's not make big old fools of ourselves. Someone screaming at their headphones right now. Screaming at himself. Why do I listen to
us live?
Morons. They don't know anything.
Like, with New True Grit, one thing I really loved about it was the dialogue and the conversation.
That's the name of the movie, New True Grit.
I wanted to make sure that I made it was unique.
You know, yeah, exactly. The sun was in your eye. That probably was that in the original. The sun was in your eye.
Wait, no, I don't know if sun was in your eye was in the original. But
I think
the cheap shells line was in the original.
Cheap shells.
I like how he throws the bread. It's the worst throw I've ever seen in my life.
It's
so good.
It is. I love it so much.
Christ.
What I really loved was the dialogue and how people spoke, and that's the kind of thing that you got with this film, with The Killing. The way people spoke to each other was just so witty at times that it was just so enjoyable.
That's Soderbergh for you, I guess. Yeah, he really does that, even in some shitty movies like Ocean's 11.
I don't think,
you know,
we're on the same path, sir.
No, okay.
He's talking about The Killing.
Which is a Kubrick
which
film.
Which is a Kubrick film.
Allow me to take another sip of my drink.
Soderbergh was like 5 movies ago. Yeah. 5 movie references ago.
Shut up. I don't want to be made fun of anymore.
We'll edit this out. Anyways, go and watch The Killing if you've never seen it. It's a really great movie.
Yeah, fuck. God's sakes, man.
Damon, are you
watch also movies? No, that movie is terrific.
Okay.
I've decided not to. I mean, ever since I got through the IMDb Top 100, even when I go back and watch old movies, I don't talk about them because these guys never watch it. Unless
that's
I force you guys to watch
true.
Them.
I
no one is going
movies.
To watch
Look,
them.
I just watched one.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel better.
I actually watched an old movie a while back, and I forgot to talk about it this week. But it's good because it's a good movie, so I couldn't talk about it.
And I watched an 80s movie as well. That's old.
I have a big pile of shame that I'm working my way through and never talking about.
Oh,
keeping that to myself.
Also, just as I mentioned, there's a new show running now. I know Douglas is watching. I don't know if you're watching it. Called Shameless. It's a remake of a UK show. It's on Showtime.
Yeah.
Starring William
H. Macy.
I've
heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
He plays a drunk bastard.
Yeah.
And a poor family, and this one girl who's keeping everyone together and running it. I love it. It's a really great show.
I have another show on there called Episodes. I hear that.
I've heard about it, I've seen an ad for it, but I haven't watched it.
So here's
episodes.
The thing about Episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's shit.
Okay.
Second
movie
that I Fran from Bernard's
Nanny?
Books.
Oh, never.
Yeah,
from
yeah, I know.
Oh,
she's in it.
From
Black Books. She's in this show.
Is it Matthew Perry?
No, not Matthew Perry. The other one, Joey.
Joey.
Matt LeBlanc.
Okay.
He's in this show.
LeBlanc.
This show, it has potential,
but
it just never quite catches it. I've watched the first 3 episodes, and I'm about done with it.
Yeah,
because you know. You always have to give every show like a chance to introduce the characters and then get into what's going to happen, and it just doesn't feel.
I know that. I watch.
It's not worth
hosts.
It. yeah. So that show, actually, I guess I could have talked about that show because that's another shitty show that I have watched.
have any of you seen Lights Out?
No, but I hear it's good.
I've watched
good?
The first two episodes.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
And. It looks like regular. It looks like an average show. I'm not going to hate anyone who likes it, but I'm just not going to waste my time on it.
Okay.
There are only so many TV shows I'll watch.
Ah.
Okay. So, trailers this week.
Skateland!
Identify.
My name is Richie Wheeler. I'm a writer. I like crocheting, kittens. Silent films about trees.
Made us a mixtape.
Awesome.
You throw the best jazz.
I know you like this place, but you ain't gonna be sticking around here much longer.
Skateland closing is one of the best things that's ever happened to you.
That's just sad.
Maybe it's time for a change.
Yeah.
Douglas, what do
I know,
you think of Skateland?
Okay, alright. So Skateland, the trailer looks like an average movie of that ilk.
What?
I'll probably watch it because it's the type of movie that I watch. I probably won't like it because it's the type of movie that I want to watch and then don't like. But that is not the most important part of this trailer. That is not the most exciting part of this
before
trailer.
You finish, can you guess what he's about to...
Music.
Exactly right.
It's
the
so
most
obvious.
The most exciting part about this trailer for me was the music. And it was so...
Wait until you hear the name of this band.
It was so wonderful for me to hear it.
No one
because,
ever heard of.
Because this is a band that I just maybe 2 weeks ago got into.
Right. At least a month.
A month? Has it been
at
a month now?
A month.
Okay, so a month ago I got into them. And the funniest part is the reason I got into them was not because I'm awesomely indie and I know these things. It's because Conan O'Brien told me. Conan O'Brien had these people on their...
No, that's not why you know them. More than Conan O'Brien is you heard their name.
The song was amazing that they played on the Conan show. Anyway, so their name sealed the fucking deal. Thank you, Andrea. Quite right. The name of this band is Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. And I don't know how you cannot love a band with a name like that.
First of all, what? Never.
I have them on my iPod right now. I can play them for
that's
you.
Great. That's great.
Hey, Aaron, you know how you come up here and you talk about how he wants to make us watch a movie because he thought the poster looked cool? It's exactly how he decides on everything.
I know. I know this is how Douglas mine works.
but no, this music is amazing. And just for that alone, I have to watch this movie. Just like how just for that alone, I have to watch movies like...
in French.
Medicine for Melancholy, you know?
I still haven't watched that movie.
I saw actually a piece of it, and it was like, eh.
But the music was fantastic.
Damn right. Saturday Night Looks Good For Me was the band that is in the trailer for that movie. How do you have a band name like Saturday Night Looks Good to Me?
What? Because there are people like you. Damien, what do you have to say about this trailer?
Adventureland 2.
I'd like to echo those thoughts and just
move
put
on.
In what you know I like about Adventureland and why I want to see this movie.
No, I actually don't want to see that. I think you're pitching the wrong...
No,
you're
I
going
know,
down the wrong path.
This works for
yes, me and you
us.
Agree on Adventureland, I believe. Yeah. Horrible movie.
No, not really. I don't think
it's a bad movie. Bad
feelings.
Movie.
But your son I saw Adventureland and this doesn't seem to be doing anything different. And that era and that time has no resonance with me whatsoever. Does anyone skate in Jamaica? No.
So, I had friends who had skates.
Tandy, my cousin Tandy used to have the roller skates. The
roller blades.
No, not roller blades.
Inlines.
The skates, not inlines. The four, which is 2x2. And they had mini mouse on them, I believe. And pink shoelaces.
Right. What was the other trailer?
I like this trailer. The other trailer I wanted us to talk about was the trailer for the new Robert Redford film, The Conspirator.
Lincoln's been shot.
One bullet may have killed our beloved president, but not one man!
You are charged with having received, entertained, harbored, aided, and assisted John Wilkes Booth, John A. Surratt, and their confederates in traitorous and murderous conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln, Vice President Andrew Johnson, and Secretary of State William Seward. How do you plead?
I am innocent.
James McAvoy!
Yay!
Yay! I'll watch anything with James McAvoy.
Okay.
And it looks interesting. The trailer is about a conspiracy to shoot some president guy from
some
faraway country.
The dude with the hair.
The dude with the hair and the hat.
I think he was kind of tall though, right?
Yeah.
Did he do something with a cherry tree? Some sort?
Right.
No.
Billy the Axeman.
I think he was a big liar though.
Yeah. I almost made a wrong reference.
Was Big Ben the one that chopped down the tree? Whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Wasn't Wayne Newton something like that? I don't know.
All right, we're gonna move on from there.
So, look, James McAvoy is in it. Redford is directing, and so I'll watch it. It looks good. It looks interesting. I don't know shit about the music, so I know Douglas won't like it.
It's all culture. It's all historical music. Right. Douglas won't like it. All
shit. Unless the name of the band was It Came from the 80s or some shit.
I love 80s music.
Or whatever.
But mostly James McAvoy.
Okay, so echo my thoughts on James McAvoy. He's very awesome. I like him. I used to think he was okay, but your pick, that The Last Station, mm-hmm. was it really made me see McAvoy for the amazement that he is.
Look,
no, absolutely.
Look, I don't
not.
Like that movie at all.
Atonement is shit.
Christ.
And you know what's so horrible about 40 Atonement? 40
minutes for that movie to start and then it ended like crap.
Okay, you see, this is the thing, right? You echo my feelings on the ending, but at the same time, I thought that everything before that was picture perfect. I loved it. I was okay with whatever you're talking about, this slow first 40 minutes.
I don't care
where anything happened. I thought that
blasted girl I run through bush. What?
Whatever. Listen. What I enjoyed shit? The whole story, and then in one fell swoop, they just unraveled everything, and it became this stupid little story. I don't even know whether to call it a fake story or a real story. It was just ridiculous.
Right.
Anyway, we're not talking about that movie.
Personally, I thought the story of Atonement was really powerful.
I'm sure you were. You would. Yes, you would.
That's what she said.
No. Okay, so back to what we were talking about, which is the conspirator. Yes, points, plus points for James McAvoy. Plus a couple more points for Robert Redford. He has a thank you very much. More beer. He has a reputation, and that reputation is well deserved. However, this trailer makes this movie look average. It makes it look a little bit boring. It makes it look run-of-the-mill, and I don't feel it. I'm not saying that this is going to be a horrible movie, because, as we all know, trailers lie all the time.
Okay.
But it doesn't move me.
Especially the ones with great music.
Exactly. And as I said to you before, this Skate Land looks like a movie that I want to watch and will end up hating. Except Inception, right.
The trailer
didn't
lie.
That trailer didn't have a band that sounded like it was.
All it needed.
But no, one thing I just want to say is that this trailer, I think, is a bad trailer, if you want to. Well, no, I don't want to say it's a bad trailer. It's a bad trailer for me personally, but it's a mediocre trailer. But it will pander to the people that they want to pander to. So maybe in that sense, it's a great trailer.
It's pandering to us.
No, it's not pandering to me.
You're going to watch it, aren't you?
No.
Yes, you are.
Well, I might if a better trailer comes out. Mm.
Second is the matter, boy. You're going to watch it.
All right, maybe, yeah. You know.
Can lie to yourself, but not to me. Andrew?
I think this movie looks really average, and to help me, I remember all the reviews which said it was really average when it played at TIFF last year.
I'm sorry, what is TIFF?
Toronto International Film Festival. Uh-huh.
Those Canadians don't know nothing. Exactly. That's what he's trying to say.
Look, they live in a cold that humans aren't supposed to live in.
Listen,
what could they possibly know?
Andrew, they have mountains and moose.
Look,
meese? Mooses?
Look, bears are smart enough to sleep when it's cold. Canadians aren't.
Go and watch Shameless, David.
I actually do enjoy Shameless. I mean, like, I was trying to kind of fighting it at first. I kind of enjoyed the show, but I was like, you know what, it's not going to last, but boy, this show is very good.
Like part of me wants to go and watch a UK show, mm-hmm. but I feel it'll just ruin my enjoyment of William.
Apparently that shit has gone on for like 7 years,
it's 8 seasons.
I think it is the 8th season.
Yeah, but
that
UK
started.
Shows are what, 6 episodes a piece? Could blow through that nonsense in like a day.
I think I prefer to just enjoy what I'm watching now.
Exactly. And then when it stops being good, you go to the English one and go, shit, this is really that much
and
better.
And it's in the 15th season at that point.
Who cares? It doesn't stop being funny, does it?
Anyways, yeah, this trailer not looking that good to me as a movie. And
good to you as something else?
As a short, a short film.
A documentary.
Yes.
This music video.
Like, I imagine all the outtakes with James McAvoy getting really angry at the director. That would have been better.
Swearing at him in all English.
He's like, what's the line? What's the line? I wrote this fucking shit, I can't remember.
Just do me this one kindness, please.
You idiots.
That's all I can really say about this trailer. I mean, who knows? It has a stellar cast. I'll watch anything with Kevin Kline in it. And he does a lot of shit. Nowadays, he'll do anything.
Nowadays?
I think he'll do anything.
Did you not watch Wild Wild West?
Hey.
No, listen. I loved it at the time, too.
Hey.
But there's a time. There's a time when nostalgia goggles must be taken
good.
Off.
No, it was never good. It was never good.
So what was that hey about, mister?
I just like laughing at the fact that Cisco did that song. So awesome. Second, I saw that though, and this movie can't be good. Even as a child, I went, oh shit. Same bad idea.
No, I was still a bit impressionable at the time.
Mm-mm.
No. Not you?
I seem to have developed a giant BS filter really early. Something's crept around it, but by and large, it caught a lot of nonsense. Power Rangers.
No, don't you dare talk about my Power Rangers.
Right. Pokemon in its entirety.
Power Rangers, that movie was awesome.
That first movie was enjoyable. But it was tied to the worst cartoon. It was even a cartoon.
It was a live action.
Whatever
series.
The hell that is. A man chop and then 9 miles down the road the Power Rangers jump as sparks fly. This is the garbage.
I think wasn't the story that
then
all of those things were chopped from some sort of Japanese show and then
they
inserted American American
then,
things to make it work.
And then
I don't know.
All they did was beat up whatever the hell the thing was. Some guy would throw a large stick, the thing would grow, and they'd go for the robot shit, and the robot shit would win. What the hell? Who thought this was not good? This is garbage.
Go Power Rangers.
And I was crucified for it, only to live long enough to hear everyone go, the Power Rangers is really garbage. Shit sucks. Right. So, moving right along.
Me dit que le temps qui glisse est un salaud, que de nos chagrins il s'en fait des manteaux. Pourtant quelqu'un m'a dit que tu m'aimes encore. C'est quelqu'un qui m'a dit.
Tu sais très bien qu'à l'école on apprend des tas de choses inutiles. L'algèbre, la science, ça sert à peu de gens dans la vie. Mais le français, hein? Le français, on a toujours des lettres à écrire.
Tes parents disent que tu mens tout le temps.
This week, Douglas in style.
In true pretentious French fashion.
Douglas, you couldn't give it like... It's the start of the new year. It's your first week for the year.
Hey, listen, you know how bad I went? I not only picked a French movie, I not only picked an old French movie, I picked an old French movie that's on a Criterion edition.
Yes. I think that's what you did on purpose, didn't you?
We're talking about the 400 Blows.
Yes, Douglas, since you picked it.
Directed by Francois Truffaut.
Right.
Who
directed M?
Yes, that he did.
I have not seen that yet.
M is really good. It is not short.
Did he direct M?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Isn't that like a 1930s German film?
No,
German, French, it's all European, right?
I'm pretty sure he did M.
Anyway.
No, M is directed by Fritz Lang. It's a 1931 German film. This is a different
another movie. Right. Never mind that.
If I remember correctly, The 400 Blows was his first movie, which was in 59.
Never mind that. Moving right along.
Moving right along. So, as I said, The 400 Blows, directed by Francois Truffaut, is really a story about... Okay, so I'm going to stop right here. And as I was starting to formulate in my mind the story, the underpinnings of the story of this film, I saw parallels. And correct me if I'm wrong... to another movie that I picked way back when, called The Butcher Boy. Would you agree with me that there are parallels there?
Yes, there are.
You know which movie I thought of when I was watching this? Another movie which you picked that there are parallels with? But I guess now that you say it, it kind of matches up more with Butcher Boy than this film. Zazie.
Why? Just because it's French and old?
A mischievous child running around doing batshit crazy stuff just because he wants to be mischievous. I mean, Zazie was a lot more childish and like a cartoon, but this movie, still a batshit child doing crazy shit just running around.
If this movie were better, I would have said, well, you know, it's an unreliable narrator. That is not the case with this movie. This kid is crazy. And if someone had taken a very large stick and cracked him over the head with it, I'm pretty sure this movie would have been about 20 minutes long. But no one did. And so we have, what, hour and a half? At least this movie wasn't that long.
This movie was
140 minutes.
It's 99 minutes
long. Right. So, it wasn't that long. However... still boring.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with you. This was a boring movie, and it stretched out very long. Like, I can't... When Andrew tells me it's an hour and a half, I don't believe him. Like, I felt it was very long. When I described it to him, and I know Andrew said to me that... and I saw him tweet that he actually kind of enjoyed this movie. I looked at him and I said, really? Because I didn't understand it.
Was it the same movie?
You know, exactly. So this movie...
I love the Criterion Cut.
This movie, as we say, is about a child, a young boy, by the name of Antoine. Antoine, that was a horrible movie. So Antoine, he's a regular French kid. You know, he goes to school. He doesn't take showers. He he steals doesn't from his parents.
In class.
You know, exactly.
He laughs. Attention.
he's essentially
he's rude.
He's rude. But the funny thing about it is, for the first... No, it's hard for me to judge time now. If Andrew's telling me this movie is an hour and a half,
just say
but I would assume it's a half an hour. For the first half an hour, you're not sure. You think maybe this child just has an amount of shitty luck. That, you know, maybe he's just getting blamed for all of these things. And it doesn't seem as if he's really that bad a kid. You know, he's mischievous, but all children are, right? Then, after a while, you kind of realize, hang on a second. What's happening here?
A freaking asshole.
And essentially, this movie follows him throughout his travels. And his travels take him all over the place. First, he's at school. He lives with his parents. He goes to school. He gets in trouble at school, but everybody does. Then you start to see him steal money from his parents. He runs away because...
The parents are splitting up.
But the parents aren't splitting up. According to him, his mother's dead.
That's pretty split up.
The only thing that I can forgive him, that statement. You know why? Because he looks like he's 10 years old, and he doesn't understand that when he lies in a manner that can be verified as incorrect, he won't get in trouble. So I can forgive him that. But at the same time,
at that age, everybody made lies that they didn't worry about.
Exactly.
Check facts.
Exactly. Right. So I'm okay with him making that lie. But at the same, okay. So this movie is essentially Butcher Boy in French for about
nowhere
half the time.
Nowhere near as horrible.
I actually like things about this movie. I would like to bring out the list. For this movie, and I believe that essentially all of the criteria in the list are checkable, but it didn't entertain me.
I think...
And it dragged.
If we spoke French, maybe we'd have enjoyed this movie more.
Mm-hmm.
Reading subtitles didn't add to the movie. I kept feeling that there was something that I was missing.
So how is this one different from every other foreign film we've spoken about?
I'm just saying, you know, maybe it would have added some. I'm just grasping at straws, hoping that this movie is actually better than it is.
You're trying not to be.
No, I do not like this movie. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm just saying, maybe there is something that is being lost in translation. I don't know, Andrew.
Yes. You know what, though? There was also, like, some of these things, some of the themes of this movie, I just could not understand. I don't know if it's a French thing, if it's a 50s thing, whatnot.
But you're French, aren't you?
Apparently, shit.
As close as...
as close as a Jamaican can get.
Yeah,
But so, there was this overarching, I don't want to call it a theme, but it was something that kept cropping up about how Antoine wanted to go to the sea, to the ocean. And it comes up at various times through the movie, and there is, I don't want to spoil anything, but there is a scene close to the end where it comes up again. And I just didn't quite understand why that was necessary,
right.
What role that played in the film, and how it added anything. And that's the thing about a lot of this movie. When I look at it, I guess, you know what it is? I'm probably looking at it through too modern of an eye. Because in modern films, you look at the scenes, you look at what is in the movie, and you say, okay, how does this add value? Do I need it? If it doesn't add value, why don't I just take it out and stick to what is necessary? Maybe, you know, every once in a while you can have some, like, asides and some things, but those, you know, are either pretty or add to, like, a subplot or something. I feel like that wasn't there, and I feel like a lot of the scenes in this film could have helped, could have been improved by somebody just doing that, just saying, listen, how does this add to the movie? How does this get me from where I am to where I want to go?
I feel what the movie was attempting to do was show you the randomness of a 10-year-old's imagination, and so the sea thing kept propping up.
Yeah.
But that's because he's 10 and he can't keep track of anything. His motivations are that he's shiny and I want to go to there. And that is it.
Shit, where, what? How does Tina Fey get into this?
But I mean, the movie, it wasn't coherent.
No, I would, you know what? I would argue with you on that. It was coherent.
Really?
In the sense that...
I couldn't follow it.
No. It was coherent in the sense that events occurred, and each event led to the event after that. I don't want to say that the movie made sense, or that the movie was I don't want to say it wasn't interesting, but
I'd say that. I would definitely come on.
But no, I will actually go toe to toe with you and say that this movie was coherent.
I don't like this movie. I hate this movie enough to argue with anybody about any point on this movie. I didn't like it. I felt it was boring.
Yeah, me too.
It went pretty much nowhere. If someone had disciplined the child properly, he could have been less crazy, I'm assuming. Or maybe it was a time before there was medicine and doctors. No one realized that this child
true,
was
man.
2 hairs away from being mentally retarded. I don't know. I mean, he runs away for God knows what reason.
Yeah.
And the movie then kind of just ends.
By the way, it does.
The
it does exactly.
Here?
There was no resolution.
Like, yo, but he's
still retarded.
Yeah, but you credits. Know what though? There was a point in time
like running across that I thought the sea.
Made absolutely no sense. So okay, remember there's a time when he runs away, like you said, yeah. And he has to spend the night in a printing press.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
Well, okay, so apparently this printing press is owned by the uncle of one of his close friends. And the close friend tells him that, listen, this printing press is kind of... He doesn't say it's abandoned, but what he says is that the machinery was too heavy for the floor, and so it caved in. Right? No. I would just pose a small question. Why is it that this is a printing press where the floor has caved in, and I guess nobody's really there, but you hear the machines running? Why is that?
They're children. They'll come up with batshit reasons for when anything occurs. And then some things don't even happen. They just look at it and think, you know, it looks like the floor caved in. I'm sure it's because the machines are heavy.
Alright. You know what? This movie is so fucking crazy. I'll believe you.
Do you hear what Douglas just said? Douglas just said a French movie. It's fucking crazy. That's coming from Douglas. Yeah, Douglas enjoyed Micmacs.
And I still haven't watched a movie.
And what his impressions of this movie is my impression of Micmacs. That movie's fucking crazy.
You know what? I think I'm going to watch Micmacs this week.
Micmacs is so amazing. I love it.
As soon as you explain what happened.
You know what happened. You and I have had this conversation. It is a heist movie, but at the same time, you have to remember it's made by a Frenchman.
Oh, of course.
So you're not going to get point A, point B, point C
of course.
Heist.
Of course.
You're going to get point A. Hold on, let's do a little.
Then we rope all of these lads to point B.
Skip a few more points.
And then heist.
What just happened?
Douglas.
Yeah?
Are you basically saying that there's something on a genetic level wrong with French filmmaking?
No.
That make them
no.
make
yes.
films
no.
like this?
A prophet. Okay. he was seeing ghosts by the end of the movie and had superpowers.
French cinema is extremely, I don't want to say creative, it is creative, but it's just marvelous that they that a lot of
Madness.
French cinema doesn't, it's not, it's very surreal.
It's because they are not restricted by Hollywood nonsense.
Exactly.
They can do whatever though.
I love that. I love the
At
freedom.
Times I enjoy that.
I mean, I agree with Damien. It
and
can
you
get
see wild grass.
I right. do okay. enjoy structure, which is why I prefer Korean films.
It can get crazy. It can get way too crazy for even me. But you know what? I love crazy. Do you not realize that I am a Terry Gilliam fan? How can I...
The Gilliamometer is
the
right
Gilliamometer is right up there.
Oh, and so I guess we haven't asked this in forever. Where does the 400 blues rank on the
Gilliamometer? It's definitely below a 5. I would say it's 3?
3G.
Maybe 2.5? I don't want to say it's not a 0, right? It's not completely
it's
gone. But it's there's something to it. So 3.5.
Say Mark 1.
Exactly that.
You didn't get that, did you? Speed?
Yeah, the speed
no,
of sound.
T.
Oh.
I know what Mark 1
is. And it's not Mark, by the way, it's Mark. M-A-C-H, motherfucker.
I'll call it the fucker once.
Wow.
We're talking about French cinema.
I think you guys have had enough to drink. No, I think we
What are you talking about?
Have we heard what Andrew thought about this movie?
No, we have
no.
not.
Andrew,
because Andrew is the only dumbass that liked it.
What do you like about this movie?
Do you really want me to respond
yes,
to that?
Yes, really I do.
Because honestly, I feel like if I say one word, it's just going
no,
to
no,
become
no,
a pile on.
No, you know what? You know,
we've already gotten out what we don't like about this movie, which is the movie. It's not like we can't argue with it at this point. There's stuff that you like about the movie. There's stuff that you like. You might be wrong. But we're used to that at this point.
Story-wise, this movie has problems all over the board. I'm not going to argue with that note at all.
Get to the pieces that you like. Don't agree with us about stuff that we...
Damien, let's hear where he's going with this.
Alright, sorry.
What was I thinking? Yeah.
You said the story has problems across the board.
Across the board, like, there are times when you wonder why he goes from A to B, like how you guys are talking about. But what I kind of liked about this movie, but at the same time, I definitely won't hold it up as anything I would recommend to people, is the way characters are portrayed, especially when you look at the parents. As much as I don't agree with the parenting that is going on in the film, once you go like, oh, those are who those people are, the acting and the way the parents are, the way they interact, I really enjoyed it. The way that Antoine is his name?
Yeah, Antoine is a child.
And Renee is a friend?
Renee...
I don't remember.
Well, and I have the IMDb page up here. Renee is a name.
Renee is a friend?
The friend is Renee. I really liked how they interacted as well, especially when you saw them go off on their adventures. So that's how I would like to view it in this current moment. Especially like the first time they go off and they skip school to go and do madness. Especially when you see them in that, like, spinning ride thing. Like, I wanted to see the child get up and do an Inception walk around the thing so he could be, like, in zero grav. And
actually,
crazy.
Can I tell you? I'm going to pull something out of the pantheon right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I saw that, immediately my mind went to Before Sunset. Because they have that in there, and there's this one guy in the middle, that turning thing,
mm-hmm.
and there's this one guy that's walking, just like what you're saying, pulling an Inception walk in the middle of there. And I was just like, oh.
Funny enough, I don't remember that bit of that.
You know what? It might be because I kind of watched both of those movies about a week ago.
I heard that they're really good.
Don't get me started.
Right. Back to Andrew.
And that's what truly I did like about the film. I questioned left, right, and center how Antoine made his decisions. But whenever you saw him,
he's 10.
Yeah. But whenever you saw him in a scene and he was just doing what he did, I kind of went like, "It's a misunderstood child." That's what the movie's about. It's about a misunderstood child who's not getting any attention or any guidance from anybody, and he's just doing crazy shit. Yes, he's a rude, insolent, horrible child, and he should be slapped across the face, and all sorts of disciplinary action should be occurring. But but once you take it from the child's perspective of going like, oh, I don't know what I really should be doing, even though my parents keep telling me about going to school, they never really do anything to enforce it. Which is why you can tell that these are like some of the worst parents you've seen. Like, I love, like, even towards the end of the film, the mother is still kind of trying to be on the child's side.
Boy, I don't know.
And then at the exact end when she visits him.
Yeah, okay.
Because before she visits him, you see her with the judge, and she's trying to argue for the child, saying, I love my child. My child isn't this person. I don't know why you're doing this to my child. I hope that we can figure out a way so that my child doesn't end up like this. But then when she sees the child later, you see obviously the mother's finally turned. She's finally come to realize that this child is a little shit. And he needs disciplining. And either she's realized that she and her husband can't give the child what he needs, or they've already failed him, or both. And this is what he needs, or otherwise. But you can see that she's finally come to that realization, and that's what's really great.
You know what I didn't like about that though was when she said what she said. She almost sounded like, not that it was that she came to some realization and that this would be the best thing for her child. It was just like, you know what, fuck you.
Yeah, it was really bitter the way she said it, but. In order for it to come off like that, she had to have already made that realization, which is what I'm talking about. But yeah, and that's what I kind of like about the film. I definitely don't think it's the all-time classic that people call it.
No one was saying that.
And stuff, but at the end of the day, I didn't feel like it was a complete waste of my time when I watched it.
Would you recommend this movie to anyone?
if you're like, if you're film people, I recommend it. Just if you're a person who loves film, like us,
like hill folk,
I recommend it just for the sake of saying that you've watched it and you can have an opinion on it. But honestly, I wouldn't, like, if you were asking me about, you know, what film would you recommend to me about, you know, insolent or misunderstood children and all
Butcher
that stuff.
Boy.
I would not recommend this film off the top of my head. No.
Butcher Boy would be what you recommend, right?
Just ignore him and he'll disappear.
I mean, really and truly.
Are you Butcher saying Boy's this podcast film? Is directed by Michelle Gondry?
Probably.
I have something to say about him. Oh wait, hold on, the podcast isn't finished, is it?
No.
We still have a conversation.
Yes.
Okay, that means I need another beer.
Oh, that's why you need another beer.
Everything is more complicated than you think. You only see a tenth of what is true. There are a million little strings attached to every choice you make. You can destroy your life every time you choose. But maybe you won't know for 20 years. And you may never ever trace it to its source. And you only get one chance to play it out. Just try and figure out your own divorce. And they say there is no fate, but there is. It's what you create. And even though the world goes on for eons and eons, you are only here for a fraction of a fraction of a second. Most of your time is spent being dead or not yet born. But while alive, you wait in vain, wasting years for a phone call or a letter or a look from someone or something to make it all right, and it never comes. Or it seems to, but it doesn't really. So you spend your time in vague regret or vaguer hope that something good will come along, something to make you feel connected, something to make you feel whole, something to make you feel loved. And the truth is, I feel so angry. And the truth is, I feel so fucking sad. And the truth is, I've felt so fucking hurt for so fucking long. And for just as long, I've been pretending I'm okay. Just to get along. Just for... I don't know why. Maybe because no one wants to hear about my misery. Because they have their own. Well... fuck everybody. Amen.
But I believe we have auteurs to talk about.
Ah, yes.
Authors? Okay,
not
so
authors, French authors, auteurs. Actually, and that's so funny, because, okay, so...
here we go.
Hold on, can you describe the conversation to us?
That's what I've been trying to do for the last
because
minutes.
Because
I just confused
the me. Or you guys.
You're egging him on.
It's your fault. And it looks like he's playing Angry Birds. Are you playing Angry Birds?
Looking at pictures.
Oh, okay.
What pictures do I have on there?
Done with Angry Birds. There's a lot of glitter in these pictures.
Damn right. Bling, bling.
And graffiti.
So this week in our discussion, tying in with the 400 blows, I wanted us to talk about auteurs and specifically directors working today who we think follow the auteur theory, which Truffaut came up with. And for anyone listening who doesn't know, the
that was Damien putting up his hand, by the way. That was not just a random laugh by Andrew.
The auteur theory basically claims that directors... even when they have nothing to do with the source material of the film, when the film is made, their stamp is pretty much on the film, so that no matter what you're when you're watching the film, you can tell that it's a that guy film. He directed it. And stuff like that. That's the basic idea of the auteur theory. And Truffaut, who was a critic and a writer before he became a filmmaker, came up with this theory. I wanted to ask Douglas, since he picked the film, which directors were in today do you think fit in with the author theory?
Well, there are two immediately that come to mind, and why I was so excited about this conversation just a while ago, why I really wanted to just get quickly to the point, was that I thought it funny that the major, the first person that I thought of, was a Frenchman. Or is a Frenchman and is still making movies. And he goes by the name of Michel Gondry. And
I also disagree with his statement.
What? What? So, listen. If I watch a Michel Gondry movie, to tell you the truth, the only movie that I think that does not abide by this rule is his latest, is The Green Hornet. But if I look at Human Nature, if I look at Eternal Sunshine, if I look at Science of Sleep, even if I look at his shitty movie, Be Kind, Rewind, they all, as far as I'm concerned, are Gondry material. They all have that stamp of Gondry. That when I look at it, I'll just say, I know exactly who directed this movie. I guess it's a little bit hard for me to quantify this because I am such a big fan of Michel Gondry that I know that all of these are his films before I even watch it. But I believe that his essence, as he said, from the auteur theory, his essence is prevalent in each of his films, except I'm not too sure about The Green Hornet. I really didn't see it there, and I was really upset about that movie.
Because he couldn't see it.
Damn right. Where is my Frenchiness? Another man that you guys probably already know that I'm going to mention is one Terry Gilliam. Terry G. Even in something as simple as the way he moves the camera, even in his most mainstream and most blockbuster movies, and I know there are very few of them. I suppose the biggest one that I could bring out here is 12 Monkeys. But in any of his films, you will just see him shine through. You look at it, I mean, there have been times that I've been watching a movie and I didn't know who did it, and I'm like, this looks like Terry, you know. And I'll Google whatever it is, and you know what? It's Terry. I feel like he is another one of those guys. I think that if you have a singular vision, and if you are an individual enough person, and if you are confident in your individuality and in your style and in who you are enough to take that and put that into your film, then you apply, you are or you form a part of the reasoning for this auteur theory. I think that some directors maybe are just, you know you always have this, I guess, you always can say that, you know, there's always the cream of the crop, which is very, very, a very small percentage. And then there's, you know, the middle of the road, which is essentially a lot of, much of the people. And then there's another small percentage that is horrible. And I believe that it's those two tiny percentages, the cream of the crop and the horrible, where you will see the auteur's theory. I think the middle of the road people, those guys, don't quite abide by it. That's what I believe.
Damien?
Right. There's only so there's only one director I feel this rule would apply to, and it's probably Scorsese. you'd never mistake a Scorsese film for anything other than a Scorsese film. At least I've never. I'm always certain of a Scorsese
film. Have you ever seen After Hours?
I was about to say that same exact movie.
No. Yeah. That movie is so 80s. It's so
that's early Scorsese.
I don't think so, no. Is it really that early? Because
he said 80s.
I think it's like 89. Oh. But like it's the way that it's structured is such, you know, a lot of the movies in the 80s, they were like that One Crazy Night type of movie.
Yeah.
That's exactly
Holy
what
shit, he's directed 50 titles.
Yeah. That's exactly what that movie is. It's about this
after
guy.
After Hours came after Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Mean
Fair
Streets.
Enough.
Yeah. That movie is such a mainstream movie. And I had watched it a long time ago.
Yet, so
and even when I watch it now, I still don't see the Scorsese in it.
But question, all right. Even though you haven't seen that, do you see the Scorsese in like The King of Comedy, which you saw last year?
In what way?
The King of Comedy. You don't know that movie?
Is this Rupert Pupkin?
Yeah.
Okay, when you say the King of Comedy, I think of
Kings
of Comedy. And I was like, what do you mean? You're telling me that Scorsese has anything to do with that?
Totally, he directed it. What's that dude's name again? I can't remember any of the comedians right now.
Well, there was D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley, that's what I was
there
trying
was
to remember.
Bernie Mac, who at least was some sort of decency. And Cedric the Entertainer, I think.
And there was one other.
I think there was four of them, wasn't there? Who was
the fourth? It was Bernie Mac, Dale Hughley,
Steve Harvey.
Quite right, yes.
I'd say, Woody Allen, but...
Actually, you're right. I agree with
Woody
you.
Allen Woody does, Allen. The theory does apply to him, definitely, but the only problem is that we don't want to call his name because
exactly,
he has bad movies in his... Right.
In his blood. He wakes up and he pisses bad movies.
It's kind of like when he was born, they gave him a number and he already passed it a long time ago, but he won't stop.
Sorkin, any movie Sorkin writes sounds like a Sorkin movie. His dialogue is pretty distinct.
I haven't seen enough of his movies to argue this, but I believe that Soderbergh would apply to this theory.
That's one name that I definitely wanted to bring up, but it's kind of iffy because even though I think the auteur theory applies to him, he's kind of different from all the other ones that we would have claimed because
there's nothing really similar about any.
Honestly, he brings a different vibe to every project because he changes dependent on what the story is.
Because he's a crazy person.
He'll go from super indie for films like Bubble and The Girlfriend Experience to mainstream with Oceans to crazy comedy in The Informant to thrillers like The Limey, noir films like The Limey and The Good German.
Alright.
And I think I can see Soderbergh in all.
So The Good German had Clooney in it.
Blanchett and Tobey Maguire.
I thought that Clooney directed it as well.
No, he didn't. He directed the other one, Good Night, Good Luck.
Yeah.
That's the one he directed. Soderbergh directed The Good German.
Okay.
Von Trier.
I've only seen
the one and I love it.
I've seen three.
Really? Which ones have you
They're
seen?
They're all batshit
crazy. How much time do you have to have in between each one?
No, I enjoy
thank you very much. What it is, like, I don't understand. I mean, like, yes, some movies, like, you know who else?
They're not for everybody.
Darren motherfucking Aronofsky.
That's on my list.
Like, he is somebody...
But he's doing Wolverine, so we can pull all that shit up.
Today he applies.
Because that Requiem for a Dream, Andrew.
And we never know how he'll screw up a Wolverine character. You probably give him a mental problem. But you want to know who I want to bring up as possibly applying to this theory, and I don't know if like you guys will annoy me because it's a young director and doesn't have that many films...
David
so
Gordon-Green.
Sofia Coppola?
Negative. Have you seen Somewhere?
I have, and it's so much like Lost in Translation.
I would not agree.
Is it anything
what I would
Divergent
say that Somewhere and Lost in Translations have parallels because they are both about a big star who lives in a hotel. but there is just there's something different
there are
about
people
two.
Making connections. Lost in Translation is about Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson making a connection, which brings them to a realization.
Right.
Somewhere
Virgin
is about.
Suicides is about.
Speaking of which, do you like Virgin Suicides?
Boys trying to make connection with girls who kill themselves. Is that the connection? That's the connection they're trying to make.
I haven't seen Marie Antoinette.
That one was iffy.
Look. There's nothing distinctive about any of her movies. They're just. With the exception of Somewhere, really good movies.
Alright, two more names I want to bring up.
I don't like Virgin Suicides.
I know, I was about to say, you just said that, but didn't you just say that that was a very good movie? You said all of them except for Somewhere was a very good movie.
Right, I don't like Virgin Suicides.
You don't?
I know people love it, so.
Oh, so you're just going to.
Right,
that
was going along.
Why didn't you like Somewhere?
I don't wrong him for not liking Somewhere, you know.
How about that? How about it being boring? There's. About 5 shots of people doing absolutely nothing. Nothing happens in this movie.
Because, honestly, I kind of liked it up until the last moment. Because the last moment I felt was just
nothing happened in that movie.
But, alright.
You know what about that movie? I kind of straddle the fence. I would like to watch that movie again to see if I can go on one side or the other. Because I see the connection that I'm sure you love about this movie. The connection.
Right. You want to love so cool.
Exactly, you know? No, not even
and
that.
You're
I try
trying hard
so
to come up with a reason.
No, I see the connection that Stephen Dorff and Elle Fanning are making. And it's, well, not necessarily that they're making, but you see the characters. And that is something I really enjoy about this movie because you get the development of the characters of those two people
right,
in particular.
And the tedium.
And the tedium involved
and
the work that he does.
And the boring nonsense.
Earlier today, I was listening to Film Spotting talk about the film.
Oh, dare you.
And
you traitorous dog.
You don't listen to other podcasts, Andrew. That's just not done.
Especially not as the host.
And you know what? You're relegated now to co-host. No. Me and Damien are in the running to host. We need to have some sort of elections.
We're talking about not listening to our podcast. Douglas immediately gets the host job.
Because Douglas doesn't listen to Jack.
Actually, no. I have listened to a couple episodes of the Toblowski Files.
That doesn't count. That's a completely different genre.
That's as close to a film podcast. As I am to the moon.
I actually really enjoy those though.
Because they're like awesome stories. I actually want to get his film, the Steve Tobolowsky's Birthday Party.
Yeah, that might be awesome.
But anyways, what was I talking? Film Spotting and Somewhere. And he was talking about how this character of Stephen Dorff never has to make a decision in his life.
Did they talk about stakes?
Up until this point, and how he deals with the idea of having to take on his daughter at this point in his life and how it changes him. Because you can see that there is a change over how he conducts himself and how he wants to become a better person because he now has someone that he has to be accountable for. He can't just be willy-nilly like how he normally is and do whatever the hell he pleases. And that's what I really liked about the film. That last shot at the end still baffles me, and I probably will watch the movie again to see if somehow that last moment makes any form of sense.
I have good movies.
But yeah. Anyways, two more names I wanted to bring up for possible auteur theories. And let's get this one out of the way so you guys can annoy me. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Actually, I agree with you.
Every
one
of
his movies look the same. they look like Quentin
and
Tarantino.
They have characters talking about shit that have absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Even that video that came out recently of his first ever movie.
You know, I still haven't watched that.
I watched like maybe 5 minutes out of it and couldn't really bother after that. But it has all that same shit that you're talking about. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay, so it has the same shit, you know, guys talking about all sorts of rubbish.
No.
But you know what? Guess what? That's actually that about his movies.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Jackie Brown's still terrible. But.
I agree with you on that.
I'm ignoring you. Another one that I want to bring up, Park Chan-wook.
I don't know. I think
Vengeance trilogy.
Whatever. I think you're just being racist because he's Asian. And any movie that he's done
right.
has Asians.
You say it looks the same.
Therefore,
what
it
kind
looks
of
the
racist
same.
Crap is
yeah,
that?
What the hell is that, Andrew?
Plus, we've only seen three of his movies. And they're part
Thirst.
Of a trilogy.
I saw Thirst, which isn't part of the trilogy.
It's Thirst. Yeah, I haven't seen Thirst.
You really
oh,
haven't
really?
Seen Thirst?
Thirst
you
is
guys
so
keep
good.
Asking me that, and I keep telling you that I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but you see, I figured because I know you are
Sooner
an alien, that you
I'm
will
going.
Watch it.
And you just
no,
will
I
tell
plan.
Us.
Look, I plan to watch it. It just that is part of the shame pile. Leave me alone, that damn it.
No, I will not. The fact that you have shame makes me happy.
Oh, of we.
Is there anything else in this list that I haven't seen? I wanted to watch I'm a Cyborg, but that's okay. But most people claim that's
I actually
a bad
have
movie.
That. I have that, and I've been meaning to watch it for so long.
I'm not
long
going to watch it because people
it.
Say that it's his bad movie. And he is one of my pillars as well.
So you don't need a bad movie
right.
from him, right?
And I don't need that.
And I've heard people talk
Keep
about Joint Security Area, which people love, but I haven't seen it yet. But I don't know, just seeing the Vengeance trilogy adding to Thirst, it seemed like he could have been
Can we add Pixar to the list?
No! Pixar is
our person.
what's the tie-in theme? They're all cartoons.
They're all great. Except one. It's not so great.
How about Cars?
I like Cars.
Fuck you.
Yeah, like
excuse me, Cars was. You know what? I'm not going to say
I,
that Cars was.
People like it so
movie.
Much; they're making a second
but
one.
I kind of like Cars. I think Cars is
there'll,
an okay.
There'll never be a Wall-E 2. I can guarantee you that.
I can't guarantee that, but you know
I
what?
Can
I can guarantee that Wall-E 1 was shit.
Yes. Be a Monsters Inc. 2. It'll be all sort of 2s. Wall-E will never get a 2.
Wow.
Well. You know why? It's Kung Fu Panda kicked his ass. There's a Kung Fu Panda 2.
Alright, something just popped up in my mind. We've named a lot of directors at this point. Most of them are directors that we really like. And we really like their films. Do you think that the auteur theory
applies to shitty directors?
I do,
yes.
I do.
No,
that's
no,
what
no,
I was saying.
Uwe Boll. That's unfair. I've seen, what, like 2 of his movies and I refuse to watch it. Let's
think,
just say they're really bad.
I think I've only seen
and really
one.
Bad
I
movies
saw the one
blend
with Jason
together.
Statham and Ron Perlman.
Yeah, that's the dungeon scene.
Yeah.
One. I saw a poster which I actually kind of enjoyed.
Bad movies just seem to blend together in this ball of badness. I really don't pinpoint anything. Hey, the guys that do Crank.
Neville Dean Taylor?
Right.
They also did Game-O.
Oh, shit. Never mind. I forgot that.
The first Crank movie was kind of shit though.
Youth, we're forgetting someone who every single one of his movies
M. I Night? Purposely have not mentioned.
No, not M. Night, John Woo.
John Woo, okay. But
every
to tell you the truth,
single one of his
movies. I think M. Night gets a nod here.
No.
No, he definitely puts his stamp on his films and you can tell it's his movie. Not because it's bad, but because of the last 2 minutes.
Unbreakable is not like any of his movies.
You think so?
It's not like any of them.
I feel
it's
like
good.
It is.
It doesn't have a lot
no, no, no. But
twist.
The first movie was really good.
Have
no, you
twist.
Cannot argue. I don't think that you can. I know you're going to try. But I don't think that you can argue that The Sixth Sense was a bad movie. I don't think you can.
It's half of a good movie.
No, I'm not arguing that Sixth Sense is a... Nah, Sixth Sense.
No, no, but Damien is.
I
Damien
am
is arguing that Sixth Sense is
movie.
A bad movie.
He has 1.5 good movies. You can't rewatch that movie.
What? I love that movie. That movie, okay. Actually, there are two movies. There are maybe a year and a half ago. There are two movies that I really enjoy from M. Night.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of them. The other one is The Village. I really do love The Village.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. There's something about it that I really enjoy.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, I think we can kind of wrap this one.
I still say who should nominate Pixar.
And I ignore you completely.
That sounds like a good plan.
I want to thank everyone for listening to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
All four
what
of
about
you?
Steven Spielberg?
He definitely listens. You can find Douglas on Twitter.
Wow. Wow.
I know
right past that garbage. That is impressive.
Oh,
keeping up beat.
Steve, listen. If you're listening, I want you to use my movie idea from like ages ago. You can just, you know, go back to the episode. You'll find it.
Right, don't remake Harvey.
Just use my movie thing, and when you make it, just credit me and give me a couple points on the gross, alright? Okay.
Or he could not do any of that.
You can find Douglas on Twitter. He's at DJRLoss. His
name. You can spam him.
Spam me, please.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at GMyReviews. You can find all my writings at GMyReviews.com.
You can find Douglas's writings at
nowhere.
GMyReviews.com. I write there. I also write at MashBits.com and Decaffeination.
I don't know why you send traffic there where you don't write anything at all. Also, you can call us.
What?
And leave us a voicemail.
And we will play those voicemails. Don't worry. We will play
those voicemails.
I will listen to each and every one of them. And I will vet them.
The number is area code 239-719-1074.
Our area code is 876.
The number for you to call is 239-719-1074. If you want to leave us a voicemail, do that. And we will play it, and we will, I don't know, answer or something.
Well, no, you know what? No, stop. We won't lie. Stop lying, Andrew. Damien, enough. We will make fun of you. But you know what? That's okay. If you want to be made fun of, just call us.
This is my solemn promise to all the people who potentially will call into this phone line. I won't make fun of you.
Anyways, thanks for listening. And good night.
Not even close to being the truth.